بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ ونصلی ونسلم علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد وعن ابی ہریرۃ رضی اللہ عنہ قال قال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم قال اللہ تبارک و تعالی یا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتی املأ صدرک غنا واسد فقرک وإلا تفعل ملأت يديك شغلا ولم اسد فقرك رواه الترمذي او كما قال عليه الصلاه والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, elders, in the glorious Quran in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he mentions to us the reason why he created us. Or shall we say, the objective that every single, not just Muslim, but every single human being should keep in mind. That what is the reason and with what objective did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send me into this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully summarizes this. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn kind, I have not created the human kind, but for this reason that they worship me. But for this reason that they worship me. The word over here has been used, liya'budun. Maine insaan ko, jinnat ko nahi banaya hai, magar isliye ke wo meri ibadat kare. When we look in the tafsir of this verse, my dear friends, we see that liya'budun is not really meant on its apparent meaning. Allah has mentioned, so that they worship me. Worship, what you and I understand as worship is, we do zikr of Allah, we pray to Allah, we bow down to Allah. This is the apparent meaning of worship. But the meaning of worship has not been intended over here. Rather, we understand from the tafsirs that it's meant over here, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيُوَحِّدُونَ That we have created jinn and ins so that they worship Allah alone. The word which is meant over here is Tawheed. Asal maana is ayat ka kya hai? Ke humne insaan aur jin ko nahi banaya magar is wajah se ke wo hamari Tawheed maane. Wo humko ek maane. The real intention, the intended meaning is that we have created jinn, we have created ins so that they take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be one. And with the word liya'budun, you can say so that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Worship, my dear friends, can only be done for a God, can only be done for a ma'bud. And worship can only be done for Allah because there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But another point I want to take your minds towards, that although the meaning is liyuwahidun, so that they take Allah to be one, at the same time, my dear friends, when we look at the verse, what word has been used? The word ibadah has been used. The word ibadah has been used. And one reason that comes to mind is that after we do the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be one, in order to keep us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why there will be a big difference in that person who accepts Islam, who says the kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, but after accepting Islam, he never worships Allah. And there's somebody else that he accepts Islam, and after accepting Islam, he's regularly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one will be more closer to Allah? The second one. Who will feel more connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The second one. My dear respected friends, it is the grace and the mercy of Allah, it is the bounty of Allah that He gives us the chance and He gives us the opportunity to worship Him. Take other religions of the world. They cannot directly worship their God. They have to go indirectly. They have to go through somebody else. There are many religions that they feel that they are not pious enough to worship their God. They are taught that if you want to worship your God, if you want to send a message to God, you have to come to such and such pope, or such priest, or such reverend, or such and such, you know, this person or this person, and you have to put your need in front of him. And then he will take your need to God for you. Or you have to give someone such money to him, and then he will, whatever message you have or whatever worship you want to give to God, he will take your worship to God. But my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has been so kind to us. He has made our religion in such a way that he has left it to us. He has left it to our own choice that whenever you want, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear friends, yes, Islam is a complete way of life. Islam is a complete way of life. I am not saying that Islam is only contains ibadah. No, Islam is a full way of life. Islam means aqaid as well. Part of Islam is having our correct beliefs. Part of Islam is mu'asharat and our social conduct. Part of Islam is mu'amalat and our dealings and our transactions. Part of Islam is our husna akhlaq and our good mannerism. And part of Islam is also ibadat. And from these five branches of deen, I have just said to you, aqaid, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, and husna akhlaq, from these five branches, my dear friends, in these other four branches, in aqaid, in beliefs, in mu'amalat and transactions, in mu'asharat and husna akhlaq and social conduct, and in well-mannerism, we will follow the way of life. We will understand the way of life, we will follow Islam, but from these five branches, it is through ibadah that we will feel the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these other ways, we know that if I am doing this, that means I am doing the right thing. But my dear friends, the most closest we can ever feel is when we do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَقْرَبَ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ. That position where the person is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this position? وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. When he's prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our heads are down in sajda, my dear friends, and bowing down and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically we feel very, very close to Allah ta'ala. My respected ustad, my sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat Sahib Hafidhahullah, he says something ajeeb. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created angels. Allah ta'ala has created angels. Thousands and thousands of angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them different responsibilities, different duties. And my sheikh, he says, that look from the verse of the Quran, وَلَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. That they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels, they never disobey Allah. You know, human beings, insan ke andar ye madiyat hai. Insan ke andar ye, matlab ye ke technology hai, ya matlab ye ke ye control hai ke wo Allah ki nafarmani kar sakta hai. Lekin, farishto ke andar ye taqat hi nahi hai, ye power hi nahi hai ke wo Allah ki nafarmani kar sakte hai. Unki programming hi is tarah hui hai ke wo sirf Allah ki ये इबादत कर सकते हैं, अल्लाह की फरमान बदारी कर सकते हैं. लेकिन इंसान में ये ताकत है कि वो अल्लाह की फरमान बदारी भी कर सकते हैं और अल्लाह की नाफरमानी भी कर सकते हैं. माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, एंजल्स हैव बीन प्रोग्राम्ड इन सच अ वे दैट इवन इफ दे वांटेड टू डिसओबे अल्लाह, दे कैन नॉट डिसओबे अल्लाह सुभानहु व तआला. सो द पॉइंट आई वाज सेइंग इज, माय शेख ही सेज दैट देयर आर सम एंजल्स Allah has created and Allah has ordered them that you will stand in Qiyam. From the time Allah has created them, all the way till Allah Ta'ala will destroy them or they will perish, they will remain in that Qiyam, in that standing position, remain in Salah. There are some angels that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created them and has programmed them that they go into Ruku from the time they have been created till their last breaths, till the time they perish, they will remain in Ruku. بعض فرشتے ایسے ہیں اللہ نے ان کو بنایا ہے پیدا کیا ہے اور اللہ نے ان کو یہ پروگرامنگ کیا ہے کہ یہ ہمیشہ کے لیے سجدہ میں رہیں گے. تو جب سے یہ پیدا ہوا ہے اور جب تک یہ باقی رہیں گے ہمیشہ سر بسجود رہیں گے. Some angels Allah Ta'ala has created, and their duty is from the time they have been created till the time they will perish, they will keep on saying Subhanallah, 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 so continue to say Subhanallah. So this is ye to farishton ka alam hai. Lekin mere shaykh ye farmate hai ki Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala ne is hazrat insan par kitna ihsan farmaya. Kitna ihsan farmaya ke do rakat namaz mein ye insaan qiyam bhi karta hai, ruku bhi karta hai, sajda bhi karta hai, tasbih bhi karta hai, Allahu Akbar bhi kehta hai, attahiyat bhi padhta hai. Ek do rakat namaz mein ye jo farishte puri zindagi jo ibadat karte hai, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala insaan ko ye tamam ibadat do rakat ki namaz mein padhne ki taufeeq dete hai. Allahu Akbar. Kitne naseebdar hai hum mere dosto. How fortunate is the human being, my dear friends. How fortunate is the human being that when he reads two rakat salah, two rakat namaz, then in that namaz, all these ibadat that the angels are doing, they are standing, they are doing ruku, they are doing sujood, they are doing qawma, they are sitting between the two sajdas, they are saying Subhanallah, they are saying Alhamdulillah, they are saying Allahu Akbar. In these two rakat namaz, Allah Ta'ala gives the human being the tawfiq to do all of these a'mal in two rakats. So look how fortunate the human being is, my dear friends. Look how fortunate the insan is. But unfortunately, as time goes by, my dear friends, when we look around us, when we take analysis of our own lives, we see that slowly, 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 ibadat is decreasing from our lives. Ibadat is decreasing from our lives. Many of us, we are just holding on to the farz. Many of us, we are just holding on to the farz that we pray the five times farz salah. Whenever it's time, we go for hajj. When we have to, we give the zakat. When we have to, we fast. But what about optional fasting? What about not just hajj because it's compulsory, but hajj and umrah out of love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? What about ibadat, not because it's compulsory, but ibadat out of love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? My dear friends, our ulama explain that many of us, we worship Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala only because we are scared that if I don't do this, then Allah Ta'ala will punish me. Hum log ye dande ke zor se to dande ke dar se hum Allah ki ibadat karte hain. Aur uski misal ye hai ki jab waqt aata hai to hum hajj par chale jate hain. Zakat nahi nikalenge to Allah ki saza aayegi. Namaz nahi padhenge to qiyamah ke din saza milegi. To hum dande aur saza ke dar se to Allah ki ibadat karte hain, lekin Allah ki mohabbat mein hum Allah ki ibadat nahi karte hain. Aur Allah ki mohabbat ki daleel hi ye hai ki ye sirf zaruri kaam nahi karta hai, zaruri ibadat nahi karta hai, lekin zarurat se zaid ye Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala ke shauk mein, Allah ki mohabbat ke shauk mein ye Allah ki ibadat karta hai. My dear friends, what is seen in the ummah today is many of us, we are only worshipping Allah because we are scared that if I don't worship Allah, then Allah will punish me. We are scared that if I don't worship Allah, tomorrow on the day of judgment, I will get this punishment and this punishment. So that's why we are praying the five times farz salah, because we are scared if I don't pray the farz, Allah Ta'ala will punish me. So we are worshipping Allah. We are worshipping Allah because we don't want Allah to punish us. This is also some good as well. Ye bhi achhi baat hai. Kam az kam itna to khauf hai. This is something good as well, but better than that, my dear friends, is when we worship Allah, not because we are scared of Him. We worship Allah because we love Allah and we want to worship Allah. We love Allah and we want to worship Allah. Sometimes the mother will say to you, sometimes the father will say to you, that do this favor for me. Go to the shop and go and buy this for me. So we will have two types of children. The mother says that, oh, I'm feeling hungry, or go and buy this snack for me. So one child, he will go, and whatever snack the mother has said, he will go and buy that snack and come back. Or the father says, but I'm not feeling well today, here are the keys, tomorrow you open the door for the factory today, tomorrow. You open up the factory tomorrow. So one child, when the father said, open the factory for 9 a.m, he will get there 8:55, and he will open the door, make sure it's open for 9 a.m. And one child, when the mother will say, go and get this snack for me, he will go. But another child who has more love for the mother, what will he do? He will go to the supermarket. Not only will he buy that snack, but even with that snack, he will try to find anything else that will make the mother happy.
What will the son do? Not will he open the factory at 9 a.m., he will get there for 8:30. Open the factory early, look around the whole factory, make sure everything is okay. Now at 9 o'clock, he's welcoming all the staff inside. Why? Because the first one, he loves his parents as well. But he loves them this much that he wants to make sure they do not become naraz with me. And the second one, he loves his parents. He wants to make sure they do not become naraz with me. But he wants to try as much as he can to please his parents as well. So the second is much more greater than the first. So similarly, my dear friends, we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because we are scared, not because if I don't worship Him, Allah will punish me, but because I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that I can gain the love and attachment and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, when we look at the people of the past, their piety was so great, my dear friends, but in ajeeb ways they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ajeeb ways they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha or Hazrat Fatima, one of the two, the way they used to worship Allah, my dear friends, majority of the night they would spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they would realize that now Subah Sadiq is coming, 10 minutes time, 15 minutes time, is the time of Fajr will start, I have to stop my tahajjud salah, they would finish worshipping and then they would address the night and they would say, okay, why did you come so early? Why did you come so early? Why did you finish so early? If you would have taken a bit more longer, I would have spent more time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mere dosto, ye jo ma qabal ke log hai, jo maazi ke log hai, kitne nirale andaaz mein wo Allah ki ibadat karte the. Kitne nirale andaaz mein. Hazrat Aisha ya Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu anhuma, un dono mein se ek ke mutalliq ye aata hai, ke raat ka aksar hissa wo log ibadat mein guzarti thi. رات کا اکثر حصہ عبادت میں گزارتی تھی اور جب یہ رات ختم ہوتی تھی تو رات کو یہ خطاب کرتی تھی اور یہ کہتی تھی کہ رات تو کیوں اتنی جلدی ختم ہو گئی، تو اگر کچھ دیر تک رہتی تو میں کچھ اور دیر کے لیے میں اللہ کی عبادت کر سکتا. But dear friends, these people, they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever they would get the opportunity, they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, when the people came to assassinate Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they came, so his wife was also present at the door. His wife was present at the door. She said to these people that, fine, you have already decided to kill him. You have already decided, you have made your plan, you want to kill him. But in qataltumuhu aw taraktumu, now it's up to you, whether you kill him or whether you let him go. Let me tell you something. The man you are about to kill is that man that every night in one rakat of namaz, he would complete the whole Quran. She would told them, let me inform you whom you are just about to kill and assassinate. Whether you want to kill him, it's up to you. You have made your plan. I know you people won't change your plan anyway. But let it be known to you this much, that this man, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, despite being Amirul Mu'mineen, and despite being so busy during the whole day in fulfilling the affairs and looking to the affairs of the ummah, at night, every night he would spend in such a way that he would read two rakat namaz, and in the first rakat of namaz he would complete the whole Quran. Allahu Akbar. There were these two brothers and one mother. How would they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How would they worship Allah that The whole night they would split it in three parts, because the two brothers, they were hafiz, and the mother, she was hafiz as well. So they said, they made mashwara, and they said that every night we will split the night in three. One night one brother will wake up, the second portion of the night the other brother will wake up, last portion of the night the mother will make up. And one brother will pray 10 juz in salah, the other brother will pray 10 juz in tahajjud salah, and the mother, she will pray 10 juz. And every night like this, they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every night they would complete one whole Quran in the family. Some years went by and the mother passed away. The mother passed away, these two brothers, they did mashwara, and they said that until mother was alive, every night we used to split it in three, and every night we were completing the Quran. Now mother is no longer with us. Now it's either we pray 20 juz every night, or it's either me and you, we give some more sacrifice. And instead of splitting the night in three, We split the night in two. You pray 15 juz and I will pray 15 juz. For the rest of their lives, my dear friends, they continued that every night the Quran used to get completed. He would pray 15 juz and he would pray 15 juz. Ajib. The way these people would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, these great, great ulama whose name we hear, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ibn al-Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh, these great, great pious people whom we know for their academic work. My respected Sheikh, he says, ye sirf bade bade alim nahi the, balke bade bade amil bhi the. These people, they weren't just great scholars. And they never just had a lot of knowledge. But along with their knowledge, they used to be great, great abids and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. But my dear friends, this is what I'm saying. That slowly, 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 the trend and the tradition to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this trend, it is dying down in the ummah. 50 years ago, I was just saying in after Fajr today, 50 years ago it used to be that 9, 10 o'clock in the morning people would start coming to the masjid for the Jumu'ah prayer. And from 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, they would engage in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody's praying salatul tasbih, someone's engaged in long dua, someone's reciting Quran, someone's in long sajda. But slowly, 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 these ibadat, they are vanishing from the ummah, my dear friends. Whereas this ibadah, it is nur for the heart. It is nur for the heart. The more we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more nur will come into our heart. The more nur that will come into our hearts, the more we will be able to see spiritually now. That where spiritually am I going wrong? What problems do I need to solve? Right now, the heart is very, very dark inside. When the heart is dark, I cannot accept the fact that I am jealous of my Muslim brother. When the heart is dark, I cannot see that my income, it is haram. When the heart is dark, it cannot see what kind of sins it is engaged in. But the more worship we will do of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more dhikr we will do of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will enlighten our hearts. When our hearts will light up, we will see, oh, there is this danger in this my heart. There is this problem in my life. There is this in my life, there is this deficiency in my life. It will enlighten our hearts for us. Now we can see the problems and we can start rectifying our problems. So ibadah, it is nur for the heart, my dear friends. My Shaykh, he gives the example that look, we have a very, very beautiful car. Brand new Mercedes we have. The engine, it has the top engine. Bodywork, top bodywork. Luxury inside. The best leather seats we have. And the car is at its best spec. It has every single thing. The best oil you put inside and all the components of the engine, they are all the best you can imagine. But this car, what is the purpose of the car? To take you from A to B. But if this car, it has everything worth $100,000, this car, but it does not have $5 worth of petrol inside or diesel, is this car any good to you? Will this car fulfill your objective from taking you from A to B? Tell me. What a beautiful example. It has everything inside, but it does not have $5 worth of petrol. This car will not take you from A to B. Similarly, my dear friends, we have everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us our whole body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Islam, the way of life. But we need to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our petrol is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we worship Allah, when we'll do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we will be successful in our objective. I said to you the objective at the start. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah ta'ala has created the humankind and the jinn kind to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we will worship Allah, it is our petrol, my dear friends. Now it will make our car move so that we can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you one more thing, my dear friends. This ibadah, and the encouragement to do ibadah and the virtue of ibadah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1430 years ago, he left the ummah and he explained to the ummah that there is more virtue and more need, more virtue and more need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the times of fitan. At the times of fitan. When fitna will be more, there is more need to connect and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you tell me, from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we look till now, we look back in history, has the amount of fitna that we have in front of us today, my dear friends, you will agree with me, there has never been fitna as worse as this in the past. Women, and with all due respect to them, but women, they are walking around on the streets literally next to naked, my dear friends. When we look on our televisions, so much fitna is found on our televisions. When our children, they are going to school, so much fitna they are exposed to. When they are going college, university, the fitnas change, so many other different types of fitna. We have got the fitna of irtidad today as well. That many, many young boys, many, many young Muslim boys and girls, that from outside they think they are Muslims, my dear friends, but mentally there are so much fitna around them. Mentally they are taught so much to criticize everything. They are slowly, slowly taught that have a critical analysis of your religion. Criticize your religion. Why is your Allah like this? Why is your religion like this? Why does your religion tell you to do this? That mentally, this fitna is so bad, my dear friends. Mentally, they have left Islam. Apparently, Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, he used to come to this country as well. He used to go to Canada. He used to come to UK. When he used to come to these Western countries, what did he used to say? Maulana Ali Mia Sahib, great Mufakkir-e Islam. From the great thinkers of Islam. He used to say, اے میرے دوستو, یہ لوگ آپ کے سامنے مسلمان نظر آتے ہیں, یہ مسلمان نہیں ہے, یہ مرتد ہو چکے ہیں, یہ اسلام کو چھوڑ چکے ہیں. He used to say, from outside, the young generation, they look like they are following Islam. They look like they are wearing a jubba and they have got a topi on their heads. They look like, just because they are coming to the masjid, you think they are Muslims. But mentally, they have got such questions and such objections against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and such criticism for the religion of Islam that mentally, unfortunately, without them knowing, they have left the fold of Islam. Without them knowing, they have left the fold of Islam. So much fitna, my dear friends. Just, I remember about within a month ago, I met my neighbor because the Tablighi Jamaat, they came to my area, and when they saw me, they said, Maulvi Sahib, you know, be considerate, zara khyal rakhna, ye aapka parosi musalman hai. And because my neighbors, they have flats next to me, and they're always changing. Tenants are always coming in, going out. So I didn't know. So when the Jamaat brothers came for Gush, what a beautiful job they do, go knock door to door, they're going, reminding people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the uncle, he said to me that, Mawlana, be considerate and look after your neighbor because he is Muslim. So waqtan for waqtan, every now and then, talk to him about Islam. I said, no problem, inshallah, I will try my hardest. So when I met my neighbor, I said to him, assalamu alaikum. He did not reply to me. So I said to him, I thought you were Muslim, are you not Muslim? He said, no, I am not Muslim, but my daughter's boyfriend, he is Muslim. My daughter's boyfriend. Ye dekho na, jab aadmi besharam ho jata hai, to ye isko koi haraj nahi hai ki uski beti ke saath koi mard ye rishta qaim kar raha hai, koi fikr nahi hoti hai. Ye behayai ki alamat hai. When we lose our modesty, my dear friends, we reach a stage when we don't mind that our young boys, our young girls, they get into haram relationships with others. Anyway, this person, he wasn't a Muslim, so he said to me, I am not Muslim, my family is not Muslim, but my daughter's boyfriend, he is Muslim. I said, okay, no problem. So then about a month ago, this is what I was saying, that I finally met this young boy. And I knew that he comes, he doesn't live here, but he comes to visit because he's in this relationship. Khair, obviously it's haram, my dear friends, I'm just giving you an example. So anyway, I said to him, you know, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Again, he didn't reply to me as well. So what is your name? He said something like Nadim or Naveed, one of these Muslim names, he said to me. So I said, okay, mashallah, how are you? How are you doing? You know, what are you up to? What do you do? Where do you go? College, work, what are you doing? I said to him that, you know, this family living next door, what are they? So he said to me that, oh, you know, they are from Sri Lanka and they are, you know, they are not Muslims basically. So I said to him, having concern for them, I said to him, why don't you talk to them about Islam? Slowly, slowly invite them to Islam, talk to them about the greatness of Islam, the beauty of Islam. یہ نوجوان مجھے کیا کہتا ہے کہ میں تو ویسے ہی مسلمان بھی میں بھی مسلمان نہیں ہوں, میں مسلمان تھا, اب میں مسلمان نہیں ہوں. What did this young boy say to me? That I am telling this Muslim boy that talk to this family you are visiting, talk to them about Islam. What did he say to me? That I'm not Muslim anyway. حالانکہ نام کیا ہے, نوید یا ندیم, I'm not Muslim anyway. So I stopped for a second. He said, I was a Muslim, but I'm not a Muslim anymore. I was a Muslim, and I'm not a Muslim anymore. And what did he say? That even my parents, they don't know I have left Islam. May Allah forbid May Allah preserve our children, my dear friends. This can happen to any of us. This can happen to any of us. We're coming to the masjid regularly. We're trying hard to teach our religion to our children. But when they go to colleges, when they go to universities, when they're mixing with their friends, what are they saying? That, oh, I'm not Muslim anyway. This young man, this is my own experience, I'm telling you, my own neighbor. So he said to me that I was a Muslim, but I'm no longer Muslim anyway. And he said, you know, I don't tell my parents because if I tell them, you know, they're going to tell me off. They're going to hit me. They're going to do this to me. They're going to do this to me. So I just pretend to be a Muslim. I even go to the masjid. So I even go to the masjid to pray Jummah as well, but I'm no longer Muslim. So this is the point that I'm saying. This is the point that I was saying, that fitna in this era have been ever the worst and the worst they have ever been in any other times. In other times, fitna have come, fitna have gone. So there have been greater fitnas, but they were temporary fitnas. But we're talking about continuous fitna, my dear friends. So much fitna, wherever we are working, we're so close to taking interest as well. You know, wherever we are going, we have to control our eyes, we have to control our ears. Even we go to Muslim restaurants and Muslim shops, music is being played so loudly. We're looking at Muslim television channels, and even there, so much haram on there, so much filth on there, so much intermingling of the sexes on there. You go to Islamic programs today. Islamic programs today, men and women, they're all talking to each other, sitting next to each other, like this is not haram at all. So much fitna in the ummah today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that at the time of fitna, you will need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. That Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Badiru bil a'mal saliha. Badiru bil a'mal saliha. Fitanan kaqita'il laylil mudhlim yusbihu rajulu muslima wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi muslima wa yusbihu kafira aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, oh my dear ummah, badiru, hasten to do good a'mal, hasten to do good a'mal before the coming of fitna. And alhamdulillah, this fitna is not so prevalent, but this time will come. This time will come, we can say it is already here. Hasten to do good deeds before such a time of fitna. The fitna will come, كَقِتَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُسْلِمِ, like the small particles of the night. The small, you know, when Asr, between, look, very soon in the next hour, the sky will start changing. Yes or no? Because Maghrib will come, the sky will start to get dark. He says, just as slowly, the small particles of night start coming, similarly this fitna will come slowly, you won't even realize. But just as the night covers the whole of Canada, and the whole part of our world, it will become dark. Similarly, he says, the fitna will come and it will cover everybody. And how bad will this fitna be? What will be the effect of this fitna? A man will be a Muslim in the morning, and by the evening he would have left his religion. And he will be a Muslim in the evening, by the morning he would have left his religion. He says, oh my ummah, before that time comes, hasten to do good deeds so you can connect and have a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith he says, badiru bil a'mali, badiru bil a'mali sab'an. He says, oh my ummah, hasten to do good deeds. Hasten to do good deeds before the coming of seven things. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to wake you and I up from this sleep, my dear friends, from this laziness. Many a times we don't worship Allah just because we're lazy. We've got time. We'll come to the masjid, but we'll just sit around, talk, gossip. We're just lazy to pick up the Quran, lazy to pray two rakat namaz and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just lazy. So to wake us up from this slumber, from this neglect, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that hasten to do good deeds before the coming of seven things. He said, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to become so rich that it makes you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Aadmi kabhi jab itna maldar ho jata hai, yeh sarkashi par aa jata hai. Yeah, sometimes when you become so rich, a person becomes rebellious. Bas mere paas to, I've got so much money, I don't need Allah anymore. I don't need deen anymore. Yeh sarkash ban jata hai. When he gets so much money, when he's so rich, he is sleeping rich, he's awake, he's so rich, all the time thinking about money, and he's so overcome in this lut and in this addiction that I am so rich, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh, I don't need Allah anymore, I've got all this money, America mai hai. یہ قارون کی طرح سرکش ہو جاتا ہے. قارون نے کیا کہا, یہ میری کمائی ہے, یہ میرے اپنے علم سے یہ کمائی ملی ہے, نبی نے ان کو کہا تھا, یہ اللہ نے آپ کو یہ دیا ہے. یہ کہتا ہے کہ نہیں, یہ اللہ نے نہیں دیا, یہ تو میں نے اپنے سکل سے, اپنے علم سے میں نے کمایا ہے. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you waiting for such a time that you become so rich that you turn and you become rebellious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you waiting and are you waiting for the coming of such poverty, and this poverty is so bad, day and night you'll worry about money and you'll forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes آدمی اتنا غریب ہو جاتا ہے, نہ نماز کا خیال رہتا ہے, نہ پتہ بھی چلتا ہے کہ یہ رمضان ہے یا رمضان نہیں ہے, بس یہ بیچارہ ایک ہی فکر میں رہتا ہے, بیچارہ ہے, یہ غریب ہے, ہمیشہ اسی فکر میں رہتا ہے کہ یار مجھے اپنے میری اولاد کو کھلانا ہے, میری بیوی کو کھلانا ہے, یہ گھر چلانا ہے, مجھے پیسہ چاہیے, یہاں مانگتا ہے, بالکل اللہ کو بھول جاتا ہے. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, are you waiting for the coming of such poverty that you will forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You'll forget about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh maradan. Oh, I said, are you waiting for such illness? Are you waiting for such illness that even if you want to, you won't be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he said, that are you waiting for death? He said, when will you finally start worshipping Allah? Are you waiting for death? Now you will go inside the qabr and now you will cry. And inside the qabr, you will say, Subhanallah 1,000,000 times, my dear friends. But it will not be the same as saying one Subhanallah when we are alive today. In the qabr, you will want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you won't be able to worship Allah. You can worship Allah, but this worship will be of no avail. I'm sure I have heard from Mufti Ahmed Khanpuri Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. When he came to England maybe 2 years ago, I was in one of his bayans and he said this incident to us. He said that one person, in a dream he saw one man, and the man that he saw in the dream, he had passed away. This man, when he passed away, he made one request to Allah. He made one request to Allah that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to continue reciting the Quran. So when he passed away, a few days later, this person who is still in the world, he was still alive, he saw him in a dream. And he said to him that, what happened? He said, oh, you know, when I passed away, I requested Allah that in my qabr, give me the tawfiq to continuously recite the Quran. And from the time I have died till now, 70,000 times, it's a very, very big amount, I have completed the Quran. This many times I have completed the Quran. And then this person started to cry. And then this person who he is seeing in a dream, who is inside this qabr, started to cry. He said, why are you crying? You are so successful that Allah has given you the tawfiq after you have died to read the Quran 70,000 times. He said, yes, Allah has given me the tawfiq. Allah has accepted my request. But my 70,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 completions of my Quran will not give me any avail. I am crying because you are much more fortunate than me. You are still in the world. Your one completion in the Quran is better than my 100,000 completions of the Quran. Because you are still in the world. You are still in Darul Amal. I am no longer in Darul Amal. I am in Darul Hisab. You are still in the world. The world is there to do practice. Once we die, my dear friends, then we will not be able to practice anymore. This is why it comes in a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking by one qabr and he said to his companions that this person, sahibu hazal qabr, this person is in need of 2 rakat of your namaz. 2 rakat nafil namaz. And this person is in need of the nafil worship that you do. He is in need more than the whole dunya. He would rather take these 2 rakats instead. But he will not get the reward for it anymore. And no matter how much he tries, no matter how much he begs Allah, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to pray subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So you can pray as much as you want. But this subhanallah, alhamdulillah, it will be of no avail because now your death has already come. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking that, look, do worship of Allah, worship Allah, set a routine in your life. Every day you are praying Quran, every day you are praying your salah properly, along with your farz salah, try to pray tahajjud. If you can't pray tahajjud, try to pray ishraq. If you can't pray ishraq, try to pray chash. If you can't pray chash, try to pray awabin. If you can't pray awabin, then after isha, before going to sleep, at least pray 2 rakat namaz. At least start reciting Quran every day. Fix the time to worship and do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just discharge your zakat, but also spend at least $1, $2, $5, $10, $50 every day in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. increase your ibadah. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for death? And they said, what are you waiting for? Oh my ummah, are you waiting for Dajjal? And when Dajjal will come, you start worshipping Allah. He said, that time will be too difficult to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, oh, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for Qiyamah to come? Are you waiting for Qiyamah to come? He said, فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرْ. Qiyamah is a very, very dangerous and a very, very bad karmi cheez hai, Qiyamah. Then you will not be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was waking you and I up from our sleep, my dear friends, that turn to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, he said, Al-ibadatu fil haraj. Al-ibadatu fil haraj ka hijratin ilayya. Haraj means, haraj with a small ha, it means the time of fitna. So he says, to do worship and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of fitna is the same reward as doing hijrat to me. And in those days, my dear friends, the Quran mentions the reward and the merit and the virtue of doing hijrah. So he says the same way, if you want the reward, you and I, even if we wanted to, can we do hijrah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam today? The time for hijrah is finished. The time to go from Makkah to Medina is finished. Yes or no? The time jo hijrat ka waqt hai, ye khatam ho chuka hai. Lekin agar hame us hijrat karne ki fazilat hame chahiye, to ab sallallahu alaihi wasallam farma rahe hai ki ye jo fitna ka waqt hai, to fitne ke waqt mein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ki ibadat karo. So worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends. Come the month of Ramadan, we should increase the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Let me give you a few examples, because when we hear examples of people worshipping Allah, we also get this motivation from inside to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Ali Miyah Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, again Shaykh Abul Hassan Ali al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayh, he used to say, he only passed away about 30 years ago. So he used to say, me with my own eyes, I have seen such buzrugs, such pious people, that every night in Ramadan they would complete the Quran. And even in Ramadan, these people would eat so less. And other than the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Hazrat ka koi aur mashgala hi nahi tha. Bas pure din ye Allah ki ibadat karte the. Unko dekh kar, mujhe un buzrugon ki yaad aati thi, jinki maine tareekh mein unke kisse padhe the. He says that when I would look at my elders, it would remind me of those people of the past. My elders would remind me of the sahaba, the tabi'een, the tabi'een. This is how much they would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, I am reporting to you, when he was 70 years old, my dear friends, in his 70s, he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such, the time of iftar would come, after iftar he would have his kajur, he would pray his maghrib, after maghrib, he would make the intention to pray 6 rakats awwabin, 2, 2, 2. 6 rakats awwabin, his 6 rakats awwabin, 70 year old man, my dear friends, his 6 rakats awwabin would turn into 20 rakats. 2 rakat padhte gaye, 6 rakat awwabin se 20 rakat ho gayi. Aur 20 rakat mein 2-2 sipare khatam karte the. And then from there, when he would make his way to his room, he would continue to recite his Quran, he would have his iftar. Even in that age, even at that age, my dear friends, he would stand up and pray the Taraweeh Salah. He would stand up and pray the Taraweeh Salah. After the Taraweeh, he would take rest in such a way that before the Subah Sadiq time and before his suhoor, he would spend 3 hours in tahajjud. 70 saal ka burha aadmi, jo aaj 17 saal ka naujawan meri tarah jo ibadat nahi kar sakta hai, ye 70 saal ka burha aadmi, Sheikh rahmatullahi alayh, ye tahajjud mein 3-3 ghante guzarte the. And then, he would get on with the rest of the day. From Zohar to Asr, he would lock himself inside the room and he would engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Quran. These were the people of the past, my dear friends. Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi alayh. One Ramadan, this is the incident. One Ramadan, he was going for Hajj. Whilst he was going for Hajj, the time for Ramadan came, because they have to leave for Hajj very early if you're going to in the ship. So they are in the ship and Ramadan starts. Ramadan starts, now everybody is asking on the ship, who will lead our Taraweeh for us? Who will lead our Taraweeh for us? Nobody is there. No hafiz on the ship. So Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi alayhi says, don't worry, I will lead the Taraweeh. People said, Sheikh, ab to hafiz nahi hai. How will you lead the Taraweeh? He said, don't worry, leave that to me. Every day the amount they would have to pray in the Taraweeh, one sipara and one quarter, he would read Quran so much that he would become hafiz of that every day. 30 days he led the Taraweeh, in 30 days he became hafiz of the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Kaise ye log ibadat karte the? Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, he used to say that if it was said to Hammad bin Salama was another pious person. If it would be said to Hammad bin Salama, oh Hammad, tomorrow you are going to die. if the angel of death came to him and informed him, "Oh Hammad, tomorrow you are going to die," Abdurrahman bin Mahdi says, Hammad bin Salama would spend his 24 hours in such a way, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, if it was said to him, "Oh Hammad, you are going to die tomorrow," there was no more space for him to do more ibadah. He was already worshipping Allah so much, there would be no more spare seconds to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. This is the way these people worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make this intention, my dear friends. Ramadan is coming. Normally what happens? After 5-6 days, we become lazy. After 5-6 days, sab josh khatam ho jata hai. Nahin, hum dobara is josh mein a jata hai. Dobara is motivation mein a jata hai. Ye energy hum hasil karenge, self karenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ki ibadat ke piche. My dear friends, normally 5-6 days after Ramadan, we die down again. But let us motivate ourselves again. Let us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the barakah of Ramadan, due to the barakah of the day of Jummah. Let us worship Allah, and at least after Ramadan, 25% of the ibadah we are doing in Ramadan, we'll get the tawfiq to do afterwards as well. Ye hum agar Ramadan mein 3 sipare padte hain, kam se kam Ramadan ke bahar ek sipare padne ki tawfiq milegi har roz inshallah. So let us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it a part of our life. Time, I will finish now because I want you to worship Allah before Maghrib Salah as well. We have half an hour, let us try to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful hadith, he said, not the hadith of Prophet, hadith of Qudsi, that Allah ta'ala has said, Ya ibn Adam, O ibn Adam, tafarrag li ibadati, tu meri ibadat ke liye farig ho ja. تو میری عبادت کے لیے فارغ ہو جا. ہمیشہ کہتا ہے اے اللہ میری بیوی کا یہ کام ہے, اے اللہ میرے اولاد کے یہ کام ہے, اے اللہ مجھے کام پہ جانا ہے, یہ کرنا ہے, وہ کرنا ہے, سب کچھ کرنا ہے لیکن اللہ کی عبادت نہیں کرنی ہے. Why do we say we have no time? Why do we not worship Allah? We don't say we don't want to worship Allah. No Muslim, we say I don't want to worship Allah. We all say, oh I want to, but I'm so busy, or I'm busy with my studies, or I'm busy at work, or I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here. These are just excuses. Why are they just excuses? Because when your best friend's daughter is going to get married, 3 weeks you take out from your life and you spare for him and you say, oh my best friend, your daughter is going to get married, I will help you with everything. And every day you are spending long, long hours in his house. To us waqt kahan se ye waqt mil gaya? اس وقت بیوی سے کے سب کام, اس وقت آپ کے سب کام, اولاد کے سب کام, وہ سب کام کہاں چلے گئے؟ تو یہ سب بہانے ہیں, بہانے. شیطان ہمیں یہ نہیں کہے گا, یعنی یہ نہیں کہلوائے گا کہ مجھے عبادت نہیں کرنی ہے. یہ کہلوائے گا کہ یار ابھی وقت نہیں ہے, تھوڑی دن کے بعد, تھوڑی دیر کے بعد, یا اتنی عمر میں پہنچ جاؤں گا, میں ریٹائر ہو جاؤں گا, اس وقت میں عبادت شروع کروں گا. نہیں, اللہ تعالیٰ says, او ابن آدم, او سن آف آدم, او مینکائنڈ, تفرغ لعبادتی, spare some time in your day for my worship. If you do this, amla sadraka ghinan, I will give you two things in return. I will fill your heart with richness and happiness. And why did he say I will fill your heart, not fill your bank account? I will fill your heart with richness and happiness because there are many, many rich people out there. They have got millions and millions in their bank accounts, yet inside they are still not happy. They are having sleepless nights. Why? Because they are thinking, how can I make more money? How can I make more money? But the real richness, ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. True prosperity and true richness is not the richness of property and wealth. True prosperity and true richness is the richness of the heart. So Allah is saying, you take out some time to worship me, I will make your heart rich. I will make you content with whatever I have given to you. And secondly, أَمْلَأْ صَدْرَكَ غِنًا وَأَسُدُّ فَقْرَكَ, and I will put an end to your poverty. I will put an end to your poverty. وَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ, if you do not spare any time for my ibadah, مَلَأْتُ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا, I will make you so busy, so busy. Today you are saying I have no time for my ibadah. Fine. In return, I will make you even more busy, even more busy. And you are thinking I'm working so long hours now. Before I was working 9 to 5. Now I'm working 9 to 9. Now I am working 20 hours. But Allah is saying, وَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ مَلَأْتُ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلًا, I will make you so busy, وَلَمْ أَسُدَّ فَقْرَ, and I will not put an end to your poverty. You will work and you are getting even more poor. You are working even more, you are getting even more poor. Why? Because you are taking rizq in your hands. Rizq is not in your hands. Rizq is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work the amount, average amount you are supposed to work. After that, leave it in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in this verse as well, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah reminds us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the sustainer. He is the sustainer. So we are not saying to sit at home or come in the masjid and live here forever. No. do the amount of work, we adopt the means, rest of it we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must find some time in our day where we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray to Allah He makes it easy for us and He grants us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Like I've just said, my dear friends, there are like 20, 25, 30 minutes left to iftar now. And if you do not need to go home, if you do not need to go elsewhere, engage in ibadah. Even if you need to go for iftar, then 2-3 minutes before iftar, go to the back. We go to the back Friday before, between Asr and Maghrib. This is golden time. We'll go to the back, mess around with him, gossip with him, talk with him. What's the point? Let us spend time in the masjid. When there's 2-3 minutes left, then we go to the back, we find the space and we sit down and we'll have our iftar, inshallah.